chapter 14, the book of Joshua. Let's look here and see where I want to start reading. Let's start reading in verse number 5. That's where we'll start tonight. You've been sitting a while. Stand if you're able to in reverence to God's word tonight. Over in the book of Nehemiah, they stood up. And when Ezra the priest read in the book of the law, and he read 1/4 part of the day. Amen. I do believe that flag commands our respect. And that flag commands our respect, and this book is certainly worthy of our respect. Amen. We don't always do it, but it's good once in a while just to stand. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. I love those words, don't you? As he said. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 80 and 5 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You can be seated if correctly read. That's verse 5 down through verse 15, Joshua chapter 14. Our Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to stand here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to approach thy throne, the privilege to preach thy word. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, my speech would be anointed by the Holy Ghost. And God, that our hearing tonight would be anointed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we approach this subject, that you challenge our hearts. You've sure challenged my heart, Lord. I ask you, Father, to help us. Lord, peradventure, there's someone here that needs the Savior, that's never been born again. I pray, God, you'd stir in that heart. Thank you, Father, for your people that are gathered here tonight. Feed them, I pray, from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to approach the subject tonight and call it Mountain Men. Because here's a man that's 85 years old, and he uses this little phrase, give me this mountain. He doesn't see it as a time to quit, a time to retire. He's up in years. God has given him much wisdom. Caleb is a man, as well as Joshua, that followed God when it was not popular to follow God. I'll give you five things tonight in the message that I believe will be a blessing to you. We're going to be going back some in the book of Numbers, so if you'd turn back over to Numbers chapter number 13 with me, that would be a blessing. Then we'll come back into the book of Joshua a little bit later on. In the book of Numbers chapter number 13, we're going to see here in the Word of God some things that I believe the Lord will use to be a blessing. The Bible said in verse number 26, "And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us." There was 12 spies, you know. "And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless," in other words, things are just exactly what God said. It is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." The Bible said Caleb, the mountain man, he stilled the people. In other words, beloved, listen, he got up and said, "Hey," like I get Brother Ralph to do in the fellowship hall when I need an announcement made. Brother Ralph said, "Can I have your attention?" And everybody just stops. You'd think he was E.F. Hutton, amen? Caleb has stilled the people, and they're listening now. And the Word of God said before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up." What's the next two words? "At once." Right now. You see, while they were looking at the obstacles, Caleb was looking at the opportunity. The opportunity to go forward. The opportunity to do something for God. I'm going to give you five statements tonight about mountain men. Number one, they know how to believe God when it's not popular. Let me just say this to you tonight. As far as I can tell, in every generation, it's never been popular to believe God and walk with God and act on what God has told us in His Word. We'll always be in the minority. You say, "Well, Pastor, 10 of them was saying one thing and 2 of them was saying another thing. What's important, Pastor?" I'll tell you what's important. It's what God said. And 2 of them took God at His Word and believed what God said. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, we need some mountain men in this generation. Some men that will say, "I'm still breathing." The Bible said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." It ain't time to quit. It ain't time to retire. You say, "Pastor, are you going to retire?" As far as I can tell, I have a program to retire in that's out of this world. When I get to where I can't preach, I'll still pray. I'll tell you, if I get to where I can't preach, I'll still praise His name. As long as I've got a breath in my body, amen, I don't want to lay down on Him because He was willing to lay down His life for me, amen. Mountain men, listen, they don't mind being in the minority down here because they know they're in the majority over yonder. One plus God is a majority. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be good if the kids going off to college realized that. Amen. When they're made to feel about that tall because they won't do this or they won't do that. If God could just raise that faith up in their life and make them feel like a giant for God, they might be the only one. But they could stand there and stand on a sure foundation. The Word of the living God. Mountain men know how to believe God when it's not popular. They brought up an evil report of the land that they had searched, the children of Israel, saying the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Do you understand, beloved? Listen. This is a group of people, listen to me carefully, that had just been backed up against the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. There's no way out. I'm talking about a group of people that had just seen God move. How quickly they forgot. Listen, the giants were no match for God. The armies were no match for God. And Joshua and Caleb believed that. Mountain men know how to believe God when it's not popular. I praise God for that. They said here, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I'll tell you something tonight, beloved. I cannot put enough emphasis on this tonight. I'm going to move on. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're starting Sunday school back up. You need to go into that Sunday school believing God is going to use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Starting children's church back up. Starting the van ministry back up. Oh, listen, listen, listen. In hindsight, I wish I knew then what I knew now, but I didn't. I didn't know that the fellow that's calling the shots in this country is making more money than anybody else in the government. I didn't know. I told my wife months ago. I didn't know why. But I said, honey, something tells me he's a snake in the grass. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God's not changed his mind about any of it. And we need to be looking to God. We need to be believing God and walking with God and trying to make a difference in the lives of people for God's glory. Mountain men know how to believe God when it's not popular. Secondly, mountain men know how to depend on God when it doesn't seem possible. The Bible said in verse 6 of chapter number 14 of the book of Numbers, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They knew how to depend on God, even though what was in front of them looked like an absolute impossibility. They had already seen God do the impossible. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? When the Red Sea stands up over here and stands up over here, they cross on dry land. I said dry land. I believe it was so dry it was dusty, like when you're mowing and it ain't rained for a month. Say amen. Now, here comes Pharaoh and his army. We got them now. And God just closes it up and drowns them. Beloved, now the men know how to depend on God, even when it does not seem possible. Look in chapter number 14 with me in verse number 27. I'll bring the third thing out. Mountain men, Caleb said, give me this mountain. Not only do they know how to believe God when it's not popular, and they know how to depend on God when it doesn't seem possible, but mountain men know how to wait on God when others are rushing ahead. Read with me, if you would, please, in verse number 27 here. The Word of God said in chapter number 14 and verse number 27, "How long shall I bear with this evil generation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein." Save, that word means except, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. "But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise." Look down with me, if you will, starting in verse number 37. "Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the people of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up unto the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned." Wait a minute now. Let me just paint this picture for you. God has already pronounced judgment on those that would not believe him and those that would not go. Watch this now. "And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this ought to scare us to death. There's a day in our lives when God says go. You better go when God says go. Amen? Because listen, after God pronounced the judgment that was coming upon them, they're more or less saying this: we've changed our mind. We'll go now. Joshua, we'll go. We'll go fight with them. And Joshua said, "Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites that are before you, ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. I'll tell you, there's two that didn't go up: Joshua and Caleb. You want to know why? They were willing to go when God said go. When God said don't go, they didn't go. The Bible said here, beloved, listen, they presumed to go up into the hilltop. "Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah." Beloved mountain men, you say, "Pastor, what do you mean waiting on God? Do you understand the text that I just read to you in the book of Joshua, that Caleb has waited 45 years. Oh, I tell you, one of my favorite stories in the Christian life is when somebody tells me, "I prayed for this individual for 20, 25, 30, 35 years. I'm telling you, there's some things worth waiting for in life. And beloved, Caleb, 45 years later, while the others were rushing ahead, was willing to wait on God. I've had people ask me, "What should I do when I don't know what to do?" My answer is always the same: wait until God tells you what to do. You don't want to be behind him too far that you can't say you're following him. but you don't want to get in front of him. God wants us to walk with him. Amen. And here's a man, brother and sister, a mountain man that knew how to believe God when it's not popular. He knows how to depend on God when it doesn't seem possible. And mountain men know how to wait on God whenever, beloved, listen, that others are rushing ahead. Some might have thought he was wasting his time. I'd like for him to come down there to Mount Hebron now and see if he was wasting his time. The fourth thing I want to give you tonight is the mountain men. I kind of touched on this morning, but they don't forget the goodness and the greatness of God. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? They've been 40 years in the wilderness. Y'all got that, right? Joshua and Caleb, they did not die in the wilderness. Those that were old enough to fight, 20 years old and upward, they died. Their children are going to inherit the land. But watch this now. See, not only did Caleb see God work before Kadesh Barnea, but he has been going now, Brother Steve, through the wilderness, and his shoes aren't getting old. His clothes aren't getting old. They got thirsty in the wilderness, and they watched water come out of a rock. When Moses, the man of God, smote the rock, he was supposed to smite it the first time, supposed to speak to it the second time. You remember this? They watched the manna come down. They had to gather it in the morning. Y'all understand, beloved, listen, that Caleb's faith in the wilderness is only growing. And when it comes time, beloved, listen, for him to lay claim to what God had promised him, it was no problem for him to step forward and say, give me this mountain. Now then, men, don't forget the goodness and the grace of God. I told my wife this a while back, and I don't know why I wrote this down. It's been a while since I told my wife this. And I'm just being honest with you. And not so much recently, especially since COVID. I don't even know if I've been in a pawn shop, period, since COVID came. But there's one lady in particular. I like to stop in her shop. She had some pretty nice things, and lots of times it might be some nice tools and sometimes a nice gun or something like that. And she actually gave the church the jigsaw that we have. You remember, Brother John, back there, and it's a nice one. I picked it up, and I was just rounding up a few tools to leave at the church so that if somebody needed to do something here, there was something to work with. And I asked her how much it was, and it was a little over $100. It was well worth it. I mean, it's a nice industrial-type jigsaw. I think it's a Bosch. And I said to the lady, I said, well, we're really not going to use it every day. It's just something that I'll just... Yeah, and in other words, I didn't want to pay that for it. I wasn't complaining about the price. It was worth every bit of it. And I got ready to leave, and she said to me, she said, you need to get that box. And I called her name. Her name was Mary. I said, Mary, what box? She said, that box that saw in it. I said, we're going to just wait. We'll get one, a smaller one. We don't really need that. She said, you don't understand. I'm giving it to you. And God is my witness. I had $40 in my pocket. I said, listen, Mary, do you really want to do that? She said, yes. I said, can I split the blessing with you? Can I give you $40 and you and I both will give that to the church? And she said, no, you can't. I want to give that to the church. You say, now, Pastor, why are you telling all that? Well, here's what I'm getting to in the story about the pawn shop. John's listening now. Nobody else is. Brother John's listening right now. Say amen, Brother John. Okay. He's listening. But Caleb, he's been through the wilderness. He's watched God. I'm not putting anybody down that's ever had to do this. That's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm saying what I'm saying to glorify God. I've never had to pawn my wedding ring to buy groceries or to pay a bill. I've been blessed with some nice firearms, and I've never had to take one of them, Brother John, and say, would y'all hold this for 30 days so I can pay my electric bill? Or you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're saying. Here's what I'm saying. God's been good to me. You say, you must be rich. I am, but not in these things. I'm telling you, I serve a God, beloved, listen, that has met the needs over and over and over. As I get older, Brother Don, that don't cause me to want to run from the mountain. That causes me to want to run to the mountain and say, God, I ain't got much left, but whatever I got. You say, that's not good English. No, but it's good preaching. Amen, Brother Larry. Thank you, brother. Brother Larry was talking about me and him in English language last night. We can tear it up as good as anybody. Amen. But whatever we got left, we'll want to use it for God's glory. He's been good to us. Amen. Caleb's the mountain man. Give me this mountain. He's the man, beloved, that never forgot the goodness and the greatness of God. One more thing and I'm finished. Boy, praise God, I said the right word. One more thing and I'm finished. That sounds all right. For 30 years I've said one more thing and I'm done. Y'all country folk, you understand it either way, don't you? See, Miss Eve, I told you. Amen. The last thing I want to give you is this, and it's very important. Mountain men, they understand the significance of the mountain. Whatever you're doing for God is important. Hebron, 20 miles south of Jerusalem. The first mention of Hebron is associated with Abram. That was before he was Abraham, and you remember when he and Lot had to part ways. The first mention is with Abraham. Do you understand Caleb? He understood the significance of the mountain. You say, Pastor, what in the world, while Lot was dwelling down there in the plains, the well-watered plains, down, pitched his tent towards Sodom, what was Abram doing? The Word of God said he built an altar there. Can I tell you this tonight? Caleb understood the rich history of Hebron and the significance that Hebron had among his people. That's where you understand, you remember that the Lord showed Abraham the land where he would be given as an inheritance. Hebron is where that Abraham purchased the cave to bury his wife Sarah. And he ends up being buried there. And Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob end up being buried there. It's one of the holy places in Israel. He understood the significance. I give you this. I want you to think about this for a minute. In Arabic, the word Hebron literally means the friend. You know what I believe? Abraham was called a friend of God. I believe Caleb wanted to leave out the same way Abraham left out, being called a friend of God. And you say, Pastor, what would that have to do with us? Well, Jesus said something like this. You are my friends. Anybody know the rest? If you do whatsoever I command you. I don't know about you, but it's in my heart to recognize the significance of the mountain that's in front of me. Grandchildren, children, teenagers, moms, dads, mamas, papas, all of us can make a difference for the glory of God. You say, Pastor, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a mountain man. I want to be a man, Brother Gary, that says, give me this mountain. I don't have to be afraid of it, because I know who owns it all. I'm not trying to, and I mean this, I'm not trying to blow Brother Steve up, but there's not many men with the talents that God's given this young man that would choose the path that he's taken to make sure there's time for ministry and make sure there's time for God. You all know I'm telling it right. So many men, they're just eat up and consumed with the things of this world. Consumed with them. But God's still got some mountain men around. And I hope and pray to God you want to be one of them. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.